Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This month, Pardes is bringing Elul to you. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. This is Zvi Hirschfield sitting in Jerusalem at the Pardes Institute, and we are going to be learning together page 27a, Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, of the third chapter of Tractate Rosh Hashanah. Where we had left off, we're about to begin discussing the part of the Mishnah that deals with the shofar that was used in the Mikdash that had a covering of gold. And the Gemara begins as follows, quoting the Mishnah, Piv Mitzupe Zahav, that the mouth of the shofar was covered with gold. V'hatanya, but we learn in the Braita, Tzipahu Zahav, Bimkom Hanachat Piv Pasul. Shelo Bimkom Hanachat Piv Kasher, but the Braita says, if one has covered a shofar with gold, if they actually covered the place where one puts their mouth, it is pasul, it's invalid. It's only if the gold does not cover where one puts their mouth. And indeed, Abaye says, Amar Abaye, kitznan nai matnitin. We actually learned that same limitation in the Mishnah itself, where he had a girsa, or a version of the Mishnah that said, shelo bimkom hanacha petzma, where the Mishnah actually taught that it was covered with gold, but not on the place where the lips touched. Nachmanides suggests that if the gold is covering where the lips go, then one is really not blowing a shofar, but they are blowing into a gold instrument and not a shofar. The Gemara is now going to analyze the part of the Mishnah that talks about how in the temple the shofar blower would stand in the middle, but two trumpet blowers would stand one on either side and blow the trumpet, and raise the question, if trumpets are blowing when the shofar is being blown, how can we fulfill our commandment to hear the shofar when the trumpets are being blown at the same time? Utre kali mimi shtame. How can two voices at the same simultaneously be heard at the same time? V'ha Tanya, don't we know from another Tanitic source, Zachor v'shamor b'dibur echad nemru, right? Referencing the two different versions of the Ten Commandments, one in Exodus and the other in Deuteronomy in Varim, where one has Zachor, remember the Sabbath, the other has Shamor, observe the Sabbath. And here the Braita is saying they're not two versions, but rather both of these were recited at the same time. God was able to articulate both words at the same time. Which, if not for divine intervention, a human mouth could not speak it, and a human ear could not hear it. Telling us that, in fact, we can't hear two different things at the same time, so how are we going to fulfill shofar if we are lit, the chatzotzra, the trumpet, is being blown at the same time? L'kach ma'arich b'shofar. That's why the Mishnah says they will blow the shofar for longer. The chatzotzra, the trumpets, would stop, and the shofar would keep going. The Maimer is this to say, the Gemara is going to make an inference. Does that mean if one only hears the end part of the tkia without the beginning, they have fulfilled their obligation? And I can infer from that the next piece, the hearing the beginning piece of the tkia without the end, one would also fulfill their obligation? The Gemara is now going to question that assumption that hearing only part of the tkia would work. Tashma, come in here. It's going to bring a proof from a Tanitic text. Takab rishonal mashach b'shnia kishnayim ein biyado ela achat. If one lengthened the blowing of the tekiah to serve both as the end of set number one and the beginning of set number two, they have only fulfilled one of them, which is referring to the idea that each set there is a tekiah followed by a trua followed by a tekiah. That is sort of one set. And therefore, in this case, the person took the end tekiah from set number one and wanted to blow it extra long so it would count both as the end of set number one and the beginning tekiah of set number two. And the Braita says he only has fulfilled one. So the Gemara says, Amai, tislak lebetarte, let it count for him as both. If a piece of a tekiah can work, so let him basically view this long tekiah as two pieces, and let the first piece work as the end of set number one, and the second piece work as the beginning of set number two. And the Gemara rejects that by saying, Pasuke tekiata madare lo paskina. We don't divide up or cut up one call, one voice, one sound into two, meaning that it's one thing to say you can hear a piece of a sound to count, but you can't artificially divide the sound when there was no division. He only did one act of blowing. It can't count for two. Tashma will bring another proof then to question this idea that a piece of a tekiah can count HaTokea l'toch ha-bor, l'toch ha-dut, l'toch ha-pitas, im kol shofar shama yatsa, v'im kol havara shama lo yatsa. The Mishnah actually teaches, one who blows shofar inside of a pit, or inside of a cellar, or inside of a large barrel, if they hear the direct sound of the shofar, they have fulfilled their obligation. If they hear the echo, they have not. So the Gemara says, Amai, lepu petchilat kia mekame di l'arbev kala. Let him be yotze with the first part of the tkia that he heard clearly before the echo, before the other sound mixed in. Right? If a piece of a tkia will count, then just because an echo comes along a second later and starts to interfere, let him fulfill his obligation with the first sound before the echo jumped in. So the Gemara then concludes from that, Elatarte kale mechad gavra lo mishtame, mitre gavre mishtame. Ah, meaning two sounds from one source cannot be distinguished from each other, but two sounds from two people would work. So therefore, since the trumpet blower and the shofar blower are two sounds from two people, that would work. And therefore, they wouldn't have a problem. Now the Gemara is going to question that assumption. Umitre gavre mi mishtame. Can we really hear two sounds coming from two people at the same time? V'hatanya, we learn a braita, but Torah achad kore v'echad mitargem. When reading the Torah, one person reads and the other reads targum, reads the Aramaic translation. Uvilvad shelo yushnaim korim yushnaim mitargem. As long as there are not two people reading the Torah and two people reading the targum at the same time, suggesting that in fact, you cannot hear when two people are each reciting something or saying something or blowing a shofar or a shofar and a trumpet. You cannot, they cancel each other out and you can't hear, it doesn't count as a halachic hearing from any of them. But now the Gemara says, no, we're not going with that. Halo damya el seifa. We're comparing our case of shofar blowing to the seifa, to the second half of the very same braita you just quoted, which said, behalel uvamegilah, afilu asara korin. When it comes to the reciting of halo and the reading of the Megillah, there even 10 people can read at the same time and they don't cancel each other out. Alma kevan dechaviv yaiv date. Hachanami kevan dechaviv yaiv date v'shama. What's the reason? We see from there that since it is chaviv, it's beloved by him, people are excited to hear halal and excited to hear the Megillah, they will pay attention and they can focus in on the words or the sounds or the notes coming from one person, even while there's another person next to them also making a sound. Here, too, by the shofar, since people really were excited to hear the shofar, they would be able to focus in on the sound of the shofar, even though the trumpet was also being blown, it wouldn't cancel it out. So the Gemara seems to be concluding here that two sounds coming from two different sources, if it's something chaviv, if it's something that we care about, want to pay attention to, they don't cancel each other out, and you can focus in on one and hear one. So the Gemara is saying we can overcome two challenges, the physiological challenge of our ear sort of processing two different sounds at the same time, and the idea of paying attention, that we can focus in and not have the sound distract us from what's happening. And basically, the Gemara is concluding there that as long as it's something we really care about, we pay attention to, like shofar, we can do it, and the sound of the trumpet won't cancel it out. So now the Gemara wants to know, El lama marich b'shofar, if that's true then, and one can hear the shofar and fulfill the commandment even while a trumpet is blowing, why then does the Mishnah say they would blow the shofar for longer? Leida shemitzvat hayom b'shofar, to tell the people, inform them that the mitzvah of the day was shofar, that the trumpet blowing was simply like an added decoration, but not the primary, but not the mitzvah of the day. Now we're going to go on in our Mishnah. When it came to blowing on the fast days, they would use a ram's horn, a bent ram's horn, and this time the mouth, it was covered with silver. So the Gemara wants to know, why is it they use gold for the shofar for Rosh Hashanah, but silver for the shofar for the Ta'anit? Or for the fast. Ibait ema kol kinufia de kesefu, dichtiva selacha shtecha tzortzor kesef. So one answer is, anytime you're calling all the people together, You use silver, as the pasuk says, you use trumpets of silver. So even though you're blowing a shofar, since the purpose of the shofar on the Tanit is to call everybody together and bring them together, you use silver. V'ibaitem, another answer, HaTorah chasam amonan shel Yisrael. The Torah was concerned about costing the Jewish people too much money, so therefore they we use silver instead of using gold, because it is less expensive. So, of course, the Gemara then wants to know, if that's the case, Hatam Nami Navi DeKesef, why don't we use silver for the shofar for Rosh Hashanah and save money there also? Afilu Hachi Kavod Yom Tov Adif. No, even so, Kavod, the honor of Yom Tov, of Rosh Hashanah, is preferable. So, yes, we need to try to save money, but not at the expense of lowering the honor and dignity and importance of Rosh Hashanah. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel Savar L'Me'avad Uvda K'matnitin. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel wanted to blow shofar just like they did as described in the Mishnah, meaning with trumpets and all the details and the silver and the gold and everything else. Amar Le Rava Lo Amru El B'Mikdash. No, Rava told him this, that Mishnah was only referring to the Mikdash. We don't blow that way outside the Mikdash. Tanya Nami Hachi, there's a bright that supports this view. Bamedrim Amurim, in which case are we referring to when we blow with trumpets and the shofar? Bamikdash, aval begvulin, outside of the Mikdash, makom sheyesh chatzotzrot ein shofar, makom sheyesh shofar ein chatzotzrot. Where there is shofar, there is no chatzotzrot, and when there is chatzotzrot, there is no shofar. The question is, where are we blowing chatzotzrot when we're not in the Mikdash? So Rashi says, on ta'aniyot. Now, other on fast days. Now, other Rishonim objected because they quoted from the Gaonim, who said that the custom on fast days was also to blow a shofar and not to blow a trumpet. And so there is a suggestion that's referring to the trumpets blown in a time of war. Be that as it may, the Gemara seems to be quoting a Braita concluding that the trumpets with the shofar was only a Mikdash thing and not to be done outside of the Mikdash. V'chein hinhig Rabbi Chalafta Mitzipori, Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion Besichni. And the fact is that these two rabbis, Rabbi Chalafta Mitzipori, Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion, had this custom of blowing chatzotzrot with the shofar. And when the matter became known to the other sages, they said, that is not our practice, right? That is only done at the eastern gates of the Temple Mount, only, meaning only the Mikdash, not outside. Amar Rava, v'item Rabbi Shua ben Levi, my kra'a. What is the source of this idea of trumpets going with the shofar? Where do we know this from? And he quotes from Tehillim Tzarichet, B'chatzotzrot v'kol shofar ha'ruyu lifnei ha'melech Hashem. With trumpets and the sound of the shofar, we will blow before God our King. And now he makes the Midrashic takeaway, lifnei ha'melech Hashem. It's only when you are before God. Lifnei Hashem is understood rabbinically referred to being in the temple. Who deba'in and chatzotzot v'kol shofar? That's when you require the trumpets with the shofar. Aval ba'alma, but in general, outside of the Mikdash, lo. Okay, last piece. The Mishnah told us that the Yovel year, Yovel Yom Kippur, you would do the same blessings in your davening, the same structure of nine blessings that you would do for Rosh Hashanah. Shaveh ha-Yovel Rosh Hashanah l'tkiyah v'la-brachot, right? That Rosh Hashanah and the Yovel davening on Yom Kippur was the same, both in terms of the use of shofar and in terms of the brachot that you would recite. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak said, Keman matzleyen ha'idna zeh ha-yom tchilat masecha zikron li-yom rishon. According to whose view are we following when we pray in the beginning of the Zichronot section of Musaf? Today is the beginning, the first day of the beginning of your creation, a memorial to the first day. Come on, who is this like? Karabi Eliezer, like the Tan Rabbi Eliezer, Damar B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, because he was of the opinion that the world was created in Tishrei. Rabbi Yeshua, however, was more discreet with him and said the world was created in Nisan. Mativ Rav Eina. Rav Eina asked a question on this view. Shaveh Yovel Roshna L'Tkiyav L'Brachot. But the Mishnah said that the Yovel davening on Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah were the same, both for the shofar blowing and for the blessings. V'ha'ikazeh Yom Tchilat Masach HaZikron L'Yom Rishon. Rosh Hashanah Ita Vyova Leita. But wait a minute. In our davening on Rosh Hashanah, we recite, this is the day, the first day of your creation. Well, that would be true for Rosh Hashanah, but that would not be true for the Yom Kippur of a Yovel year. So if that's the case, our Mishnah seems to be against Rabbi Eliezer, because according to our Mishnah, the two tefillot of Rosh Hashanah and the Yovel Yom Kippur, the Jubilee Yom Kippur, have to be the same. But that would not work if we are reciting Zehayom Tchilat Masecha. This is the first day of your creation. Kikatani Ashara. No. So don't take the Mishnah overly literally. It meant it's the same in regards to everything else, but references to the first day of creation would not appear in the Yovel Yom Kippur davening, but everything else would be the same. We are now going to get a different report of this exchange. Rav Shesha Breder of Idi Matneh Hachi, he taught this exchange in the following way. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Haditnan Shaveh HaYovel LeRosh Hashanah LeTekilah Brachot Keman. The one who said in our Mishnah that the Yovel year and Rosh Hashanah are identical in terms of shofar blowing and the blessings recited in Musaf, that is not like Rabbi Eliezer. To Ik Rabbi Eliezer, because of a follow-up of Rabbi Eliezer, Kevan Damar B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, since he held that Tishrei, the world, was created, Ha'ik Azai Yom Tchalat Masach HaZikron LeYom Rishon, De Rosh Hashanah Ita V'Yovel Leita. Right? So according to him, that is why we would say, this is the first day of your creation, a memorial to the first day in our tefillah. That would be true for Rosh Hashanah, not true for Yovel. Therefore, our Mishnah could not be in line with Rabbi Eliezer. Ki katani ashar. The Gemara answered, no, when the Mishnah taught that the Yom Kippur Yovel davening is the same as the Rosh Hashanah davening, that was in regards to everything else, but references to the Rosh Hashanah being the first day of creation would be eliminated from the Yovel davening. I will see you next time as we go on to page 27b, Chaf Zayin Amud Bet. We're going to start from Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph. The very bottom of the page is the first line of the new Mishnah. See you then.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty, and thank you to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in at the beginning of each week to stay on track with your Elul learning. And visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about Pardes and our programs.